And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, support the Agora, blackmarketfriday.info, agorist.market. You know, one of the guys in the Telegram that's in Missouri, I think, and he's been on the show. He has a banjo manufacturing company, and his wife, you know, did have a job until refused to do a mask, and we're not going to take the vaccine, and we're, you know, whatever. And they're going, well, then you can't. Okay, we're good. We're done. I like my, you know, genetics, so I'll pass. And but, you know, looking for another job, contact tracers. Oh, I got plenty of government jobs. They're government snitch jobs. Contact tracer. Think about the infrastructure for that. You know, here's an individual that we need to trace and track. You know, we need to contact and contact tracer. Even think of that. I mean, heck, that sounds like a dystopian sci-fi movie. Contact tracer. Wow. And then, you know, it's going to be just like the TSA. You know, you had, you know, Frumpy Mick, I wish I was a cop guy. You know, gal, they just go in, they become government employees, and they stand in, and then they get a uniform. Now we got to have a, you know, like an official, you know, light blue, look like a cop uniform thing. Well, these contact tracers, they'll start off being whatever, and they'll morph into whatever. And they'll be contact tracers. And then, when do they get guns? How long does that take? You know, there was one thing, a shortage on ammunition is a big deal. And I remember years ago, it was billions of rounds of 40 caliber hollow point for target practice. I'm going, hollow point for training? What? Yeah. So where does it stop? Contact tracers? Hello. I'm here to contact you because I traced you. I'm not feeling good about this. Even that name. You know, what? So, but there, you want a job? Go be a contact tracer. They got a job for you. You know, the thing is they, let's say they got in a state 1,000 contact tracers, 10,000, whatever, you know, 1,000 job openings. Well, who do they put in there? Whoever applied, filled the suit, and I got a budget, and I job, and I vote a certain way of, you know, pick me, okay? So you're contact tracer. When it counts, when it matters, when they got a plan, they get replaced and start morphing into, you know, training, you know, size, age, physical ability, you know, might as well just be an army. Watch a freaking dystopian movie once in a while, and you'll see how, read a book. They got a script. Oh, holy crap. I can't even believe I didn't remember this. All right. I could probably look it up, but you can look up this. Science fiction writers, I'm going to do it. Damn it. I can do this. Let's do this. Okay, science fiction writers hired by the government. Okay, I'm going to do that. Science fiction writers hired by U.S. government. Okay. All right, let's see what happens here. Because how long ago was this? Because they needed to come. Why companies and armies are hiring science fiction writers? I don't know. Let's find out. Singularity.com. Why are they? Are you a science fiction writer? Do you have command of the French language? If you can answer yes to both questions, a new job opportunity may be just the thing for you. The recently formed French Defense Innovation Agency is looking to assemble a red team of science fiction writers and futurists. The BBC reports that the team will use role play and other techniques to imagine how terrorist organizations or foreign states could use advanced technology, yada, yada, yada. Yep, that was just the first one. The United States did the same thing. It was after 9/11, of course, and how can we be attacked? Well, you know, just come on, give us a scenario. Give us some cool, you know, pandemic? Okay, we'll use that one, you know. They were using science fiction writers to imagine how they could scare the population. They were hiring them to do this, you know, and it's a thing. You know, of course they did, because they can. You know, they want to scare you. Can sci-fi writers prepare us for an uncertain future? Wired Magazine. France's military hires team of sci-fi writers to advise them on future threats of blah, blah, blah. Sci-fi writers take U.S. security back to the future. The U.S. military is turning to science fiction to shape the future of blah, 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 blah. Man, they have no imagination. They go to comic books. They're, you know, ooh, look at this threat. The virus thing, you know, the popular movie, I think, it's, you know, it's like a comic book come to life, is Hobbs and Shaw. You know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Jason Statham, and I don't know, the babe, you know, that plays his sister, whatever. It was a virus. It was a weaponized virus that's going around, and we got it against the evil hordes of. And the whole background, this whole thing was about a virus. You got all the, you know, flash bang, super jumping car crashing, helicopter, drone, robot stuff, you know, and then the whole thing was wrapped around this. It's just Hollywood is so used to manipulate us into thinking or being or believing in all kinds of stuff. And it's not stopping. You know, it's like we have to close our minds to it. And they don't even really, everybody keeps going about they're selling our data. Yeah, I'm sure that's going on, but it's more like they want your attention. You know, why? So they can manipulate you. You know, it's into supporting one thing over another, one person over another, one fear over another. You know, your money, your time, your effort, your children. You know, it's just, it's an erosion of what is the foundation basic defense that Americans and human beings have against this kind of a control and manipulation. Whenever you have mass control and you get herds to do what you want, it's usually for power and money, you know, to get them, you know, to eliminate opposition, who's the bad guys, and then you got to have a name for them. You know, it's you know, the you know, the Huns, or the, you know, the Nips, or the, you know, the Kong, or the, I mean, whatever the hell they come up with, you know, the whatever. I don't even want to, all the stuff on top of my head about every freaking war we've ever had with anybody. You got to dehumanize them, and that a lot of people now, they don't realize what it was like when I was growing up, when you had the Cold War in the 70s and so on. It wasn't, God, it was 1980-81 that I met my first Russian, and talking to them about their life and what's going on. It's you know, they didn't want the people to have a conversation. We had a party. It was after Larkin Rose did a one of his project, the Mirror Project. What did he call it? Anyway, it was you know, role play that he did over a couple of days, and one of the first ones he did was in Phoenix. So we, you know, pimped it, got him a room at, you know, one of the hotels and everything, and he did it up. And then we had a party the first day. I think it was a, you know, a Saturday and a Sunday. And Saturday night we had a big party. Well, one of the guys that came was from St. Petersburg. He was a Russian. And after some yakking, one guy I know, McAnarchist, you know, he's all super secret, nobody knows who I am kind of guy. But then he went into the studio with this guy and recorded a video to the Russian people. That's what got me banned on Vimeo. I'll tell you, the banning on Vimeo to Russia when we come back. That'd be the first thing I tell you about. We'll be right back.
from the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Oh, there's in the news a bunch of... Okay, I promised I'd, you know, finish this story real quick. Okay. Larkin Rose had his event, and there were a lot of people there. It was awesome. People came from all over the country. There was, it was like six guys from Texas. And we had a party that evening, and there was one of the guys that came that wanted to meet other libertarians was a libertarian from St. Petersburg. He was a scientist at whatever, and then we got into conversations about. And, of course, he wanted to stay America. And so we were talking, and, you know, I'll just tell you his name is Keith McAnarchist. You know, that's how we know him. He's and he doesn't like me talk about what he does. He does a lot of land transaction stuff. Well, what he did is he stays low-key. He's off of the radar screen of I don't deal with the banks. I'm only cash and gold. And, kind of, man, he gets all kinds of funky that he doesn't like to be on the radar screen at all because he was a private investigator at one time. And he gave me a bunch of – this is open, legal. This is how you skip trace people. If you want to contact and trace, I'll show you how. And we've done shows on it before, too. There are open records at the county, and anybody ever filed anything with anything, you can check and find, and you can know more about, heck, even your family. I did it one time on a Clear Channel radio station. A friend of mine is a talk show host over there and became a friend after this first show. And we went on, and the whole thing was about what they do with your voter data and how they're able to cross-reference and different. I'm going, look, people, I don't think you understand how much is out there. You know, and we did. I said, all right, go to your computer, type in this site, put in what. Well, while we were doing that, the board op that was in behind the glass, he was following along and doing it. And during the break, he tells me, he goes, I had no idea my grandparents made me beneficiary of a whole bunch of stuff. You know, all this stuff that's on record, he just kind of looking up his name and finally go, whoa, I got to get grandma and grandpa a bigger, you know, Christmas present, man. Damn, I'm okay. So there's so much stuff available. So that's why he's so private about a lot of things, because he knows how you blip up on the radar screen. Well, he's always real private, but he had the opportunity to talk to the Russian people. So he got all excited. They wanted, all right, fine. We, you know, fired up the studio, and I just said, go. You know, and I came in when he was done, went in and turned everything off and edited whatever, and I just put it up. I didn't even watch it. I don't care. You know, I trust him not to be too stupid, but, yeah, it's always, you know, conspiracy or something. So I put it up, and it got a lot of hits and attention, and boom, I get a complaint. Something from London. You're being mean, and said he probably said the word Jew, you know, once or more than once, whatever. I don't know what it was. It had something to do with Zionist. He said Zionist about something, and so they freaked. Well, they and eventually it started the process by which we were taken off of Vimeo, and we still, of course, have it in IPFS and all the show, but. The one point that I remember in the beginning, because I just watched, make sure the sound levels were good and everything, and then I just went out to party. But how he started it off, he goes, when we were young, in the 70s, 80s, We were told a narrative about the Russian people, and we just wanted to, you know, find out the truth and share with you ours, and that we have the same enemy. You know, it's, you know, of course he went on central banking, taking over the world, New World Order, all that stuff. But he goes, never did we ever think that we could talk directly to the Russian people, that we could share what's going. And then he started going on. I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea, you know. And then I left and left him alone to do his thing. But the idea that from our generation to think that you could directly communicate with an entire culture on an issue of interest that you had overlapping common, you know, concerns about. That was exactly what the government and the media was trying to prevent. You were not allowed to leave, to go, to participate, to say, to whatever. That was, you know, hell no. We control all communication between people. And I saw it, and it reminded me of it again, you know, or it's about the same time. When Trump had been elected in 16, and the first thing the press kept hammering on him, you're not going to be so unpresidential as like daily communicating with the electorate via whatever Twitter wound up doing, you know, and not through us, are you? Hell yeah, I am, because you guys are fake news. You suck. They, man, if there wasn't a big, giant, humongous reason for getting rid of Trump's ability to communicate directly with the people, that was freaking it. They knew. So do you think Biden, you know, should he, you know, it's not over yet. I'm not counting this thing out. You know, this is, we're going to go through a process, see what's up. But, because I remember in 2000, God, it was like, mid-December or something before they did the, you know, Al Gore Bush thing. And it was just, that was another stupid whatever. So, they do not want someone in that position, like Trump especially, communicating directly with people. That is, man, that's their job. We print everything's fit to print and tell you what you need to know. You know, I even had the editor of the Arizona Republic at the Breakfast Club. You know, I go, being a butthead back then, we send up written questions. And my written question was, how many weeks before the internet replaces the printed newspaper? Now, this was in the 90s. And so, of course, you know, that's where we knew, you know, the future. We're libertarian. We could see what was coming. They're losing their, you know, hegemonic monopoly of control of your brain cells. And they don't like it. And he said something that was great. I just never forget this. He goes, you need a conservative newspaper like the Arizona Republic and a conservative editor like me to tell you what you need to know with a straight face and total seriousness. And I go, tape please, out loud. I go, tape please. I want to bring the tape. Did you hear what he just said? We need a conservative, which is BS right off the bat, you know, paper, and him to tell us what we need to know, to tell us, which was the point that I was making. When is it going to be that the people just, nah, I'm good? Well, what do they do? That's, you know, you're fake news. You know, that's why, you know, they tried to say, you know, all the stuff that's on the internet was fake news. It was the media that started doing that. I'll tell you who really did it before it became popular, was really pumping that, was Tim Pachote. Tim Pachote on his Facebook, he's like, these guys are fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news. And all of a sudden, then Trump started picking it up and fake news. And then, of course, you know, Tim took credit, but you know, it's that, you know, like mines, you know, this just kind of happens. I'm hoping that we really, whatever Trump report common theme that we ever had, or any of the people that was associated with the campaign, we had several people on, including Roger Stone a few times, and it was just on election fraud. I mean, just hammer it. If you aren't dealing with this, you're just whistling past the graveyard, because I'm telling you that you're ignoring what's really going on here. So I think they actually did something. I think we're going to learn something. And if not, why? If we're not going to learn anything from this and catch some bad guys being bad, then what good was he? I mean, this whole thing was a uncover that for me.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ernesto de Fuego. Fire Ernie. You know, that's what they called me when I got burned back in the 90s. I am the torture freedom. You know, anyway. I'm looking at Vince Soprinowicz is a good friend that has been, you know, important part of investigation, freedom, whatever, since the early 90s. And I remember he was an editor of West Valley View, which was a newspaper in the Valley. And in 88, he endorsed Rick Tompkins for U.S. Senate as a libertarian against a Democrat incumbent. And they freaked. Because when he came in and he talked and answered all the questions, he's like, well, I'm endorsing him. You know, and he was a hardcore Democrat. And it just, you know, evolved from that. They became friends and, you know, libertarian. They used to have a national column called The Libertarian that was also on Freedom Communication newspapers, which was East Valley Tribune and everything in Phoenix area. And they canceled him after G. Gordon Liddy, which was, you know, Watergate, Plumber, Nixon administration, you know, guy, you know, whatever. They're all scum. But the he wrote an article or did a thing about, you know, he practiced with cantaloupes because it had the consistency of a skull or something, you know, it's the size of a head and shooting and you get the ballistics of whatever the heck. He was shooting cantaloupes. And in the article that Vin was writing, and that was like a big thing, he was going on about how they're, you know, kicking in doors and the midnight raids and, you know, they're killing people. And this is when this was really first starting to get going in the 90s. And he was making a big deal out of it. And he goes, and they got body armor and, you know, double tap, triple tap, two to the chest, one to the head kind of thing. He goes, you might as well not even waste your time. Just, you know, shoot them in the cantaloupe. And by saying that, you know, boom, he got banned. You know, it was, oh, man, people were trying to save their job on that one. Oh, got to get rid of that column. So, you know, being the libertarian, nationally syndicated, that didn't last, that was less than a year. I think we'll decline. So, but in the meantime, you know, they were, you know, the newspaper editors, you know, I knew who these guys were, and we'd talk and everything about it and ask, and they're just to save their jobs. You know, the edict came from on high. That one no longer shall grace the pages of. Well, he's been, you know, he's retired now, and he writes every now and then. But towards, you know, right up to the election and after, man, he's been writing a bunch. And he's just been putting a bunch, well, at the top of Freedom's Phoenix right now is one of his articles. And one of the links in there goes to a Gateway Pundit article about unraveling the latest deep state coup. The courageous, brilliant duo of Sidney Powell and Congressman Louis Gohmert stirred up a bit of a storm in the last few days with this tweet. Reveals U.S. Army, CIA, team raid on Sickle server facility in Frankfurt, Germany, blah, blah, blah. This is where they're talking about the Dominion, you know, how they rigged an election. Now, it's stipulated and well known that they have software, hardware, programs, people, and desire to screw around with any and everybody else's election. Now, this is, you know, we got to make sure the right guys win. You know, they even call off or say it doesn't count or do overs or what if they don't get what they want. You know, this is, it's amazing. Well, they wouldn't do that against America. That'd be wrong, right? So the story is that they went in Germany and they, you know, seized this company's servers and everything. Well, that's not really true, you know, because you got, like, laws and stuff and sovereignty and, you know, German. I'm going, yeah, I don't think they're cooperating on this. So that, yeah, that's not what happened. So the U.S. Army did not conduct a raid. This is from the Gateway. Now, who wrote this? You know, this is by Larry Johnson, you know, published yesterday or day before. The U.S. Army did not conduct a raid in Germany on either SCYTL, CYTL, I guess how you say that. So on either CYTL or Dominion offices or servers. They are foreign nationals, and we must operate in accordance with German law. Moreover, the U.S. Army does not have law enforcement powers with respect to such entities. So what happened? I am reliably informed that a unit under the command of USICOM, i.e. United States European Command, did in fact conduct an operation to take control of computer servers. But these servers belong to the CIA, not Dominion or CIDL. The U.S. military has full authority to do this because any CIA activity in the European theater is being conducted using military cover. In other words, CIA officers would be identified to the German government and anyone else asking as military employees or consultants. Such an operation would have been carried out with U.S. law enforcement present to take custody of the evidence. That means that the evidence will be under the control of Department of Justice through U.S. attorneys and can be used in court or other judicial proceedings. This is not the first time that a military unit attached to USICOM has compelled a CIA computer facility to hand over evidence. A dear friend of mine, a retired DEA officer, told me about an incident where he entered a CIA facility in Frankfurt, backed up by the U.S. Army, to get into the CIA, was withholding to get info the CIA was withholding. This took place in the 80s. I also have confirmed that Jim Hoft reported that the other night the CIA's Gina Haspel was not informed in advance of this operation. Based on this fact, I think it is correct that that action was taken in Germany on territory under U.S. control and that a CIA facility was targeted. I also have learned that FBI Director Christopher Wray was excluded from this operation. Wray, more than Haspel, has been working aggressively to undermine and sabotage Donald Trump. This means that some other U.S. law enforcement agency, U.S. Marshals, DEA, Secret Service, etc., had the lead in collecting the evidence. Cindy Powell is a serious lawyer. She is not going to make a false claim, period. She embodies honesty and integrity. Given her recent statements on Maria Bartiromo and Lou Dobbs, you know, on Fox News, and Eric Bolling, she clearly knows that evidence is being collected that will prove beyond reasonable doubt the type of evidence required to obtain a criminal conviction, that the CIA had some sort of nefarious relationship with Dominion Software, and that Dominion Software was being used abroad and in the United States to conduct voter fraud. I fully expect CIA officials to argue that they had no idea that Dominion was engaged in such nefarious activities, but their denial carries as much weight as a claim by Captain Louis Renault in the ironic scene in Casablanca. All right, so the point that they're making is, yes, this was done. It was done as a CIA op. The CIA had the servers in Frankfurt, Germany, and it was done under the jurisdiction of the U.S. military so that the CIA have cover from whatever. But that put it under, you know, the executive branch and Department of and Justice, and they're going to go and get some. So they did. Now they kept, you know, the top guys, these different. See, it seems to me that Trump does this on purpose. He's such a moron. He puts the deep state right into the, you know. It seems like he knows he wants them there. He needs them to do what they're doing. He doesn't tell them what he's doing when he doesn't want to tell them what he's doing. He wants them to act and do and and try and take over and coup and treason and all that and get them and guilty, 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 guilty with the evidence of and you. So this will be interesting. Does Donald Trump really need to win to be president again? I don't know. Will he retain his? I don't know. But somebody needs to do this stuff because it's gotten totally out of hand. There is no faith in the system that you can, have me supportive of. Why? There's nothing that you can say or do that convince me that these guys aren't doing whatever the hell they think is in their self-interest. And who's they? This deep state in Frankfurt, Germany. We saw this in the Ukraine. All these guys in the Ukraine, you remember? Oh, yeah, we're buds. They're going to make me National Defense Secretary of Ukraine, and I'm a Colonel What's-His-Name. These guys are just, ew. And every one of them are like dead in the eyes, no empathy, sociopathic scumbags.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You don't need no stinking roads. You know, that. I can go on and on about that. I came across, in Arizona, I had to, you know, the governor's office accounting liaison with the general accounting office of the blah, 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 because I filed suit. I guess I'm going over budget, you know, you can't be out of balance on the state budget. And they were by gazillions and whatever, they were hiding it, and I was being a butthead about it. And they called and they said, no, some debt's good. You know, we need to have some debt for the roads. Yeah, you don't want, like, you pay it off and then your kids, like, get to drive on it 10 years from now and it's all paid off and they don't have to pay anything. That's not fair. We got to enslave the children for, like, decades. And so I'm like, wow, you're why we don't have flying cars, aren't you? So I'm just, I don't have any love for these guys. All right. The Mike Adams over at Natural News, you know, he's got, what is it, Brighteon. You know, he opened Brighteon as a video hoster thing for whatever. And he's been writing about this, too. And it tells, we know a little bit about this, but I think a couple paragraphs here can tell you what's going on. In September 12th, 2018, so keep in mind, he hadn't even been in office, his first half of his 4-year term. So he gets elected, he starts serving in 17, so it's less than a year that he's actually in office. Okay, is it? Let's see, 17. So, yeah, less than 2 years. So in the first half of his presidency, he does an executive order. That order, available at, you know, whitehouse.gov, you can go there, and it's entitled Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions in the Event of Foreign Interference in a United States Election. Well, it's damn Russians. The Russians did it. We got an executive order on imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a United States election. So who would be against that? Well, they announced that he did it, and then they just kind of blew it off, and they didn't report on it. Yeah, whatever. It's just a PR thing. Trump's doing, you know, damn, yeah, I'm doing something about them damn Ruskies. The Russians did it. Okay, you want Russians did it? All right, I got an executive order. Unauthorized accessing of election infrastructure. Okay, when you know, it opened the barn door on this. In the executive order, the president also states that people and organizations located in part outside the United States are known to be able to, quote, interfere or undermine public confidence in United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure or the covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation. If you're starting to see how this ties into CNN, the New York Times, New York Post, and MSNBC, you're not alone. All those organizations, as you'll soon see, have been caught under this emergency declaration of foreign interference in U.S. elections aided by complicit corporations on U.S. soil. The executive order further states that this foreign interference in U.S. elections constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. Once you invoke national security, oh, it's all in. We're going to spend some money. We're going to do some. We got authority. National security, which I'm going, elections aren't national security interest. I'd be like, you know, top five or something. I mean, it's on at least on the freaking list. You know how long have we? So they haven't. I've been amazed that this has not been. But it always is like a pressure. It's like you know, you got the fraud guys, and it starts to leak out, and they run, put their finger in the dam. But sooner or later, it just crests over. It floods. There's so much stuff, and this is a crack in it, and here it comes. So I think we're going to be learning a lot. We're going to find out. Why is this relevant to anything we're seeing right now with the massive election fraud carried out by the Democrats and the deep state? Of course, I got to blame Democrats, deep state. It's all the same thing. Because Dominion Voting Systems is a Canadian company, and Seidel is run out of Spain. What? So Dominion Voting Systems is Canadian? We've got Canada? Is, counting out of Spain? What the hell? That's right. Dominion is a foreign-owned company which makes Dominion-based election theft a foreign interference issue. Seidel, by the way, is connected to George Soros and the Democrats. And according to TGP, Bill Gates also owns stock in Seidel, which is another company. God. Yeah, we had, what was the one? It was Diebold and another company. I can't remember. And it was two brothers that were, what was it? ES&S. Yeah, ES&S and Diebold. We went through this before. I get it. You know, and it's just the, you know, the next generation of, you know, they get bad name. They can't, it's like, you know, it's Blackwater and then they call it something else. You know, I mean, you know, they just keep changing the name, you know, they same people. Dominion is Canadian. Seidel is from Spain. So that's foreign interference in elections. And the data routed through servers in Germany. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Another voting machine company called Seidel, also widely used in U.S. elections, is located in Spain, as Great Game India reports. Okay, so this is from India. Days after it was revealed how 2020 U.S. elections were rigged by Canadian Crown Agent Dominion voting systems through a so-called glitch, now Great Game India has found involvement of another dubious foreign company in U.S. election meddling. The votes cast by Americans were counted by a bankrupted Spanish company, Seidel, in Spain. Like Dominion Voting Systems, Seidel has a long history of election fraud in various nations, including injecting backdoors in its election software. The issue has prompted experts to question why the sensitive job of counting votes was outsourced to a foreign company. How could a bankrupted Spanish company count American votes in Spain? Due to such widespread fraud, the chairman of the U.S. Federal Elections Commission, Trey Traynor, believes that the 2020 U.S. presidential election is illegitimate. What people are missing in all this is that Trump's 2018 executive order gives the DOJ the power to seize all assets of individuals and companies that were complicit in aiding or covering up this foreign interference in U.S. elections. He set a trap. Yeah, you can see it's playing out right now. So what do? The Army, and under the military, this is why, you know, Trump's been doing a bunch of military appointments, military, and you know, they saluted and defend and flag and stuff. I'm like, you know, I guess they actually believe that. They got a chain of command or something. They go to Frankfurt, Germany, and they seize the computers being run by the CIA under the military's name that's using a... servers to do what? I don't know. And we got foreign company Dominion in Canada that's compromised, and then you got, you know, some computers, a company in Spain that's bankrupt that's counting them somehow. What? Trump the movie. Yep. The National Emergency Order specifically calls for seizure of all assets of entities that have directly or indirectly engaged in, sponsored, concealed, or otherwise been complicit in foreign interference in a United States election. That would, of course, have to include practically every CNN fake news anchor, every big tech CEO, every fake news journal terrorist from NBC News, New York Times, Washington Post. They all complicit in gaslighting America and covering up the massive foreign election interference that just took place. Trump's executive order further explains that asset seizures shall target people and entities which have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technological support for, or goods or service to, or in support of activity, blah, 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 any and everybody. It's a RICO thing. It's a racketeering deal. So I'm going, okay, I've seen this before. This is like, you know, like drug cartels or something. Every organization involved in the election theft and cover-up can now be seized by the U.S. government. Wow. Well, you better get on it, you know, or it's going to be, I don't think Biden's going to continue this effort. You think Biden continue the effort? You think maybe? No, I don't think so. And so this is needs to be done really fast, right now. If you're gonna do it, get out. This is, you know, this is what I've been waiting for, because I already know. And what you think it got smaller? It was a itty bitty little thing. We got trillions, trillions of dollars. And the fate of the New World Order, that damn middle class America out there being ornery and stuff. So we got to shut them down. We got to put them out of business. We got to eliminate the middle class. And it's always, it's the haves and have-nots. And we got to redistribute from all those that have to in the name of the people. And you don't mind if we get a cut. You know, they get a big cut. And somebody's going to get a cut. And they're going to rule you. And it's happening right now. But when you got big fraud, big stuff like that, sooner or later you got big resistance. Trump, of all people. All right, we'll find out. It's going to be entertainment.
Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock continues after the news, live on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's 95% effective and nearly ready. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what Pfizer says about its coronavirus vaccine, saying there are no serious side effects, and it plans to seek FDA emergency use authorization within days. It and Moderna's may be available next month.
I can assure you, I'm very confident it will be safe and effective.
Republican Congressman Buddy Carter is taking part in a coronavirus vaccine trial as COVID keeps surging. Most deaths in a day in the U.S. since May, over 1,700, and record hospitalizations, prompting many states and cities to limit gatherings ahead of Thanksgiving. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, in its weekly report, the coronavirus task force from the White House says there is aggressive, unrelenting, expanding broad community spread across the country, and that holiday travel and gatherings would amplify transmission considerably. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar told the Fox News Rundown.
The more people you get together, the greater the risk. The less likely you're going to be able to be social distance. The less likely people will comply with wearing masks.
The panel says current efforts to slow the spread are inadequate and must be increased to flatten the curve. Dave?
Now, Rachel, President-elect Biden keeps adding to his incoming White House staff, though he's not getting cooperation from the Trump administration. Kayleigh McEnany, White House press secretary, told Fox.
This president has always said he will engage in a peaceful transfer of power if the facts bear out that way.
And she added.
The president believes, and so too do many others, that if every legal vote is counted, he will remain president. He's pursuing litigation.
And Boeing has gotten FAA certification to allow 737 MAX jets to fly again, after they had been grounded since March of 2019 following deadly crashes overseas. Boeing still has to upgrade software and also have new pilot training. America's listening to Fox News. Now we turn our attention back over to Wall Street, see how stocks are doing. Fox's Lillian Wu is watching the markets live here in New York.
Dave, the S&P's flat and NASDAQ is down about 40, but the Dow is within striking distance of a new milestone 2 days after closing at a high. Right now, it's at 29,879. It's getting a boost from more positive vaccine news out of Pfizer and BioNTech. Also, one of America's largest exporters, Boeing, its 737 MAX, getting cleared to fly again. As you said, American, United, and Delta, all economy opening stocks are also up. Dave?
Now, Lillian, the price of oil has been moving up today, nearly a half dollar, back to about $42 a barrel. No change really for gas today. AAA's national average for regular remains $2.12 per gallon. The NRA has unloaded a settlement with the state of New York, which had charged the gun rights owners group with operating insurance illegally in the state. So,
and now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yep. Yep. We are not a feared, not a feared. Here in declare your independence. Me, you're in the Stancock, and you can do it all by yourself. You don't need me. I declare my independence, and you don't need government. Form! Okay, I got to tell you, tonight we have James Corbett. He and I are going to yak it. Tonight, just everybody gets on our, you know, whatever we're going to, I don't care. We're just kind of, you know, keeping up with each other and, you know, perspective on what's up and this conversation and record it. So, you know, you're lucky. So get over it. But I'm interested in what, you know, he does and what we do. And we overlap sometimes in different things. It's just, there's some people that I like to talk to just to get a touchstone on what's up. James Corbett's one of those guys. Charles Goyette, definitely, you know, kind of, you know, get it. Paul Rosenberg, you know, it's time for Paul Rosenberg. And, you know, a lot of the guys that I just, are you seeing what I'm seeing? I think I'm seeing that, we're seeing it. So, you know, and James is one of those guys. So that's tonight. And we'll probably just do a podcast and post it up. And because we don't have the bandwidth here. It's just because we don't. And so we tried, you know, sometimes, we just screw it. We just do the audio and then post that. And starting this next week. Friday, we're not going to do a show because I'm going to be driving. Got to put a bunch of miles underneath me. You know, get that done. So I'm going to be driving all day Friday, kind of get her done, get to Phoenix by the end of the weekend, hopefully, and then relax. Right. Tomorrow, Thursday, we have John Snizen on. Anzor Darov, it's a blockchain project, UOS.network, he wants to talk about. So I guess Anzor's a guy. So they'll be on explaining that to us. There's a lot. All of a sudden, it's decentralized. Everybody kind of doing the, you know, the Brave browser this and the so-and-so that and the extra download of the, we got a decent, they're getting on it. I'm going, good. Now, while you're doing that, IPFS. Because I still see that there's always some central something. And I'm going, all right, you know, well, you guys keep it, but you're not diverting. All right, we'll integrate with and, you know, pimp and have you come on and everything. But I'm not waiting. You guys had your chance. You know, you do the IPFS thing, and it's going to have to be better than. And hopefully it will be if it is. But that has the traits that I want to see in, you know, Internet 3.0 kiss my butt. Now, they're like, oh, it's Internet 2.0. I go, yeah, well, I'm way past 2.0. You know, I am not making compromises anymore on this. We can't. So we'll drill down on them. We'll see what's up. Then hour two tomorrow, Patrick Wood, technocracy.news. It's time to check in with Patrick. You know, I'm like, all right, here we go. He's going to try and scare the living snot out of me. And the answer is always the same. You know, yeah, they, them, those are doing what they can. Anything that can they? Well, they are. You know, what? What are we going to do? And what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have to say, you have to be prepared to say, no. That's it. No. I think I'll decline. I'm not. Do you accept to be able to, for the convenience of and participate in, and, you know, and check box here? Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree. I totally agree. I agree. Did you read it? Nah. No, I agree. Whatever it is, I agree. I get to do this thing, right? Okay, I agree. You know, so we're gonna have to change that. And there'd be nothing to agree to. You know, you can use it and agree or not agree. You know, I pick up a rock and throw it in the river. I don't know what I had to sign. It, you know, I threw a rock. Okay, boom, it hit, and we're done. And what permits? Oh, I'm sorry. You're changing the flow or the contour of the hill of the EPA of, you know, the water jurisdiction of coastal whatever the hell. I mean, you know, they come up with something. Amazing. You know, the friends that we had that were in Panama, they have a home there and a community that's expats of We Got Money, and you're not allowed to go on this private beach. Get ticketed. Got the gendarme or the enforcement of you're not allowed. Oh, you want to go shopping? Well, does your passport end in an odd or even number? And how many hours a day? And kind of, you know, I mean, on and on and on and on. All right. Yeah. Okay. Why? COVID. Okay, where's all the sick? Where? Show me the. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We got the power. Yep, Yep, yep. Then, of course, tomorrow, the third hour, Tulip Report with Dr. Frank Timbury. Frank is going to be not on time, but we'll get into it. You know, he likes to do the after show anyway. That's when we, you know, we don't have the live stream. You guys don't get the benefit of that right then because we post it up later. But, you know, I love Dr. Frank. He's a good friend. But, you know, definitely on board the Trump thing. And there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm supporting, you know, the effort of Trump to out all this crap. And, of course, what do? Oh, he's embarrassing himself. He's crazy. He should stop looking at election fraud. Now, you're looking at election fraud, well, then you're crazy because that's conspiracy talk of your, you know, oh, pay no attention to those servers, to the foreign companies and the foreign tabulation of the foreign on foreign soil of foreign, you know, pay no attention to CIA, you know, doing this as a program working with a deep state of in freaking Europe, you know, under the guise of we're military, of yada, yada, yada. And, oh, a couple of years ago you did an executive order, made it a national defense thing, and some guys that came in and they took and they know. Damn, we would have preferred you not do that. You know, so this is, what do you want them to do? Not. I had a talk with John Brakey, you know, over the weekend, and we talked yesterday. And he and I, he's a progressive, so he's like all happy, you know, Democrats are kind of sort of winning. And, but he was in a lot of these states, especially Michigan and Arizona. Michigan, oh man, it's messed up. Arizona, yeah, it's messed up. And I'm going, oh, yeah, well, we're doing it transparent the next time and working with the Republic. I go, quit saying that. There isn't a next time. There is no next time. There's no next time. When are you going to, there's no next time. There's this time. There's right now time. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to, I go, I'm telling you, and I sent him a, I got a, an article, I think we put it on Freeman's Phoenix too. It was from, it's called the Capital News, Arizona Capital News, I think. It's a small newspaper. It just deals with the legislature. They even have like a little newspaper office within a nine iron of the Capitol building. And so it's right there. And I've known these guys like forever. And, you know, they're part of the machine. But at some point, I mean, some of this stuff you can't hide. Well, there's some legislators that are exposing a lot of this stuff, and they're going, yeah, you know, we go to the court, and we wanted a hand recount. And they were, the other side were making the argument that they can't. What do you mean they can't? They physically can't. They redid the election in such a way that you're not down by precinct, or they can't tell where and what they did on purpose. And this is something that John Brakey and I discussed a week before the election on this show. In this bus. And I'm going, look, you know, this is, they're making it to where they can't, because this is what I was fighting in the 90s. They had a law saying it was, now they made it just physically, you know, it doesn't record it that way or some weird crap. It's another long story I can go into. But what they did is they go, it is illegal for the judge to do a hand validation of the election, even though you got the paper. The only power that the judicial branch had was to order a recount, and they pushed a button on the computer and says, yep, it says the same thing. That was it. And I go, really? That's your recount? You just, you, whatever the software says again? You know? Wow. It's coming out.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, Derek J., man. They got designers, got the blender files from Cameron, and they're really working on the Precariat Lounge, the 15th floor up there under the atrium and everything. They got the art, and they're starting to put in their space disco and all that. And he's trying to fill the whole floor, and I'm going, I don't think you realize how big that is. You start putting little people in there, and I'm telling you, man, you I don't think you're going to be able to use the whole floor. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I mean, damn, you know, that's going to make it a central. It'd be like, a Venetian or something, or, you know, cruise ship malls, or, they got, you know, skylights, and we got a space light, you know. It's big, you know. That's what I think he's going to find as they start designing that. They're not going to be able to fill that with. I mean, how many dance party. You know, you're going to need 15,000 people just to even kind of fill a little part of it. It's, damn.
Do it. You know, I'm talking, Derek's texting. Yeah, go. You know, be creative and have fun.
Boom. You know. We will fit it up with markets and lofts and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, go, man, go. Go. It's cool. I don't want any, you don't get any limitation from me. I just want you to see the scale, you know, that it's a way bigger than you think. They put in all this stuff, and I go, yeah, you know, that couch, it's three stories high. I mean, we're talking big. All right. So they can work on that. Friday we're not going to do a show. I need to get on the road and get some distance. Tomorrow, reminder, John Snizen, Anzor Durov, blockchain project, uos.network. I know nothing about it, and we will find out. Patrick Wood, technocracy.news, and then of course Trump Report with Dr. Frank Tambury, and he'll be late. And the pirate stuff is starting to take a lot of things are. You know, the black market Friday.info is taking out. We started that in 15, just kind of had it sitting there waiting for now. You know, we have the decentralized network, a storage of data, whatever the IPFS thing. That's getting a lot more capability and starting to be fleshed out. And it's happening by just people like us, maybe not with a, you know, microphone or something, but, you know, they're just doing it. And I go, look, man, you build it, they'll come. I guarantee it. And then from all over the world, they understand the need for it. They're developing it, and they want to play. And I'm going, let's rock. You know, not waiting on me. So do that. We have the Love Bus being mobile and demonstrating what can be done. That inspired a lot of people. I think Luke, you know, Radowski from We Are Change, he was, you know, inspired by, you know, this kind of stuff at Pork Fest, and all of a sudden he went fifth wheel, and he's going around. He's up at Derek's. They've been making signs. You know, Derek sent me, he goes, yeah, you know, look what I made for Luke. And it's, let me see if I can pull it up. And a lot of it is, you know, Epstein didn't kill himself stuff. And he wants to make a big deal out of that. So that's going to be fun. So he has those. And let's see, what else did he do? I'll try to find Derek's thing. All right. Well, Derek's working on making lumber out of trees. in his backyard. He has acres of trees he needs to get out of the way to do what he's going to do down there. And what do I do with all this, all these logs? Well, you can make boards out. And then he found out 2x4s are $8 a piece now. He's like, whoa, man, I'm definitely in with that. Let's, you know, we got to do that. So we do that. Let's see. Luke has a sign that says, 1984, make Orwell fiction again. WeAreChanged.org. Epstein didn't kill himself. WeAreChanged.org. And let's see, what was a couple others that he had here? Where'd they go? They were here a minute ago. And, yeah, this looks like Epstein didn't kill himself has a broken security camera. It's kind of cool what you can do with this laser, man. This is awesome. Yeah, let's see, make taxation theft again. You know, it has a piggy bank with a dollar sign on it. Make taxation theft again. WeAreChanged.org. Let's see. If you trust the government, you don't know history. WeAreChanged.org. So he's got four cool signs there. They come, yeah. You know, with the nice We Are Changed logo on it and everything. Cool. Yeah, see, we inspire some people. You know, he's going to, he sees the value of it. He saw what we did, the impact that we had, the signs that we made. He's like, well, I want to do that. Well, you know, so do it. You're not waiting on me, man. I don't know what you guys are waiting on. Just do it. You know, the one thing is we have the K40 laser that can do a lot of this stuff, too. It just takes a lot longer, and you got to do it in smaller, and you know, because Derek got a kick-ass laser. Kick-ass. Whoever who also has an even bigger one. You know, that's about the same intensity, but it's even bigger, was custom made by Bill Domenico in Manchester. You know, he's got a whole floor of a building that, he, I mean, it's just thousands of square feet. He's up there in a maker hacker space of playing. You know, he's been always the laser guy on a whole bunch of stuff. Well, he got a lot of these lasers and so on, industrial waste that people just, you know, they, you know, 10 years ago they had, it was a whiz bang super military. Government, whatever the hell, on the scrap heap of auction that he gets. You know, going to these auctions and things, just, there's so much stuff. They bought up here on their farm, they needed, let's see, they got a truck, you know, to pull a tractor trailer rig, but it's one of those that has an additional axle that, you know, goes down. So instead of having the two dualies in the back, it also has another one, I guess, for heavyweight or something. So they get that for almost nothing. They got a 38-foot-long Lexus limousine. This is a Lexus, you know, SUV limousine for $6,500. It's kind of beat, and it needs, you know, some more. I mean, it's in good shape, but, you know, it's just older and, you know, for $6,500. Man, because they have a lot of parties and people going, they just thought it'd be cool and $6,500, whatever. So they get that. You know, then they got this tractor and a platform skid, load this, that, boom, whatever. Now they got to build a big garage or carport thing, you know, up here in the woods to put all in, because they're developing. For what? To stay here. They go, we got family and friends. You know, where's your acre, Ernie? I mean, you know, how you? So this is what's happening, because it needs to. It has to. If you got resources, you know, and these auctions are awesome. You can get, I wonder what it is now. You know, as people are moving to rural, they got some pretty good deals. So I'm going, damn, this is, you know, that might be a thing. You know, a group of people, you go to these auctions. Especially, I think they're a lot cheaper in here than Arizona. Because Arizona, everybody wants Arizona vehicles because there's no rust, you know. And a lot of these, you know, heavy equipment is either big, giant, freaking steel, whatever, or made of aluminum. You know, so, you know, there's not as much wear on them. Of course, you know, you still got tires and transmission and this. They got a, one of the auction, I just went and picked it up yesterday. Me and a friend, we went and picked them up. They had a F-150 four-door, you know, pickup truck with a bed. It was a 2007, I think it was 2007. Got it at auction for $1,500. Now, it had, you know, a bunch of stuff it needed, and they got everything fixed and sealed and redid. It was another $1,500. For $3,000, it's a nice truck. I go, damn. So we need some farm equipment, a backhoe, a little bit of Bobcat, a little something, you know? We might need to do that in Arizona. I think we need to, you know, a well-drilling rig. Yeah, I think that maybe that. How about that? Let's talk about it.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up at any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, you may want to help expose others to our great programs. To assist you in doing so, you'll find resources at promote.lrn.fm, including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out and distribute, banners for your website, as well as files that will allow you to make your own custom banners and graphics. Visit promote.lrn.fm and help bring new listeners to the Liberty Radio Network. That's promote.lrn.fm.
I'm grateful to have heard from some of our satellite listeners recently. I appreciate knowing that people are out there who like what we do and are willing to support it financially. LRN.FM's free-to-air satellite feeds blanket most of two continents. It was my goal to put our channel there so people without internet could receive our programs and feed pirate radio stations. We started a fundraiser on Patreon a few years ago to back the satellite channels. I recently announced that I was considering canceling the feeds, and donations increased from 15 to 20% of our costs, which are around $1,000 per month. That's a good start, and to incentivize more contributions, the Shire Free Church will be matching every dollar. Can we reach $500 per month? With your help, we can. You can join our satellite fundraiser for just $2 a month at fund.lrn.fm. If we raise enough to keep both of the channels on the air, awesome. If we raise more, I'll add more channels. If not, we can shut them down and go internet only. It's up to you. Thank you for your support. fund.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, this is, typical. I'm not sure what the story is, but we send a lot of stories to staff, and there's a family in Ecuador. A lot of the regular listeners know that are friends of friends that are from Merca, California, and he had a leukemia, I think, or some cancer, blood cancer, and he cured himself with juicing and just healthy living, organic, and it just went away. Doctors are like, what? So he goes, yeah, I'm gonna eat healthy. Where I go, and he found that there was a village or an area in Ecuador that had the longest longevity, the healthiest people, and yada yada yada. Well, you know, of course, it's 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of sun. They're up in the mountains. It's a constant 78 degrees all the time. Fresh, clean water, fresh fruit and veg just growing everywhere. And he goes, I don't know why people live longer here. I'm like, wow, okay, well, I think I know why, you know. So they're down there building and such, and we don't have time to put all that stuff up. So we pay them per, you know, story they put up. I go through Donna and I throughout the day, and we have different times, like after the show, I'm processing and editing and waiting on that. I surf the internet, and then a lot of the, you know, readers and Telegram and, you know, and messaging and emails from people and everything, and I consolidate all that, and I send it to them to put up. Well, then they got to find a graphic, and they're really good at that. You know, just find, you know, some graphic to go with it. And I don't know what the story was. It's probably about, you know, white man bad or something. And one of there's a family of three, a husband and wife and their 20-something-year-old son. And she goes, the world has gone completely crazy. I can't even get a pic of a white American male. What WTF? What is wrong with this world? Just thought I would share. Hope y'all are good and enjoying Washington. Hugs sent. So it's just a Google search. You know, image with white American males. That's all it put, you know, she put in there. You go and you look, and there's nothing. It's all black. And the only white people in this are, you know, crazy white right wing got, you know, in a line of got arrested. And, you know, it's just, it's weird. You know, and see, you got some book cover here, Angry White Men. You know, and the rest of it is just, black men. I don't know what the hell this is. This has to be some forced Google thing. You know, this is white American males. And you don't get any white American males unless they're in jail. I get Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. What the hell is that about? You know, Malcolm X, a bunch of civil rights guys, black women. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. You know, I'm just FYI. That's how it works. You know, who's been really going on about this has been Paul Craig Roberts. He was in the Reagan administration, I think. He's a financial guy, and he was going off about that. Well, Derek, cool. I like what Derek J is doing, you know, with the precariat. They've been talking about this for a long time. He finally just hired some graphic guys to go whip ass. He's like, yeah, all right, we want to do this and this, and it's about time. I mean, what am I going to say, what he can or can't do? It's digital. You know, you're messing with my IP of, I don't care. If I want a different one, I switch it out, and I'll do what I want. You know, but it's cool. I just want people to start getting involved and building that. Because if you start having like a ship mall, this thing would be multiple floors and lofts and, aquaponics up top around the skylight of doing. I mean, this thing is 50 yards long, just a skylight. This thing is huge. I go, I think you're thinking small, man. You need to put proportional. You need to get a human being standing in on your dance floor there, and you see how big this thing is. I don't think you really understand what you're doing. So guys are, they're building it and they're putting stuff in and kind of fills the space. But it'd be like a grain of sand, on a fold out card table. I'm like, whoa, I don't think you really understand how big this area is. So they start doing that. They'll start changing their design a little bit, I'm sure, because I'm going, damn, man. It's like, dancing in Carlsbad Caverns. Be like in the Matrix. Yeah, we're not afraid. That's what they're looking for. It's going to be a big giant rave or something. I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm cool with that. Let's do it. We had an article yesterday that I thought was interesting. It was on the history of Marxism and where it came from and how it's used and what, as I look through a lot of the stuff that people send, it's starting to go philosophical. They're starting to see the connection, where this started, and the next person and the next wave and the next Congress and the next and the next and the next law and the next department of, and the next, and all this stuff that the libertarians and all of us anarchists or voluntarists or whatever is, have been, you guys see this, right? You see the foundation. You're just conspiracy. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Quit your whining and, get with the program. And I'm like, all right. Well, that's all going to come around. And then, of course, you have their mindset. California Governor Newsom offers misleading apology for attending lobbyist birthday dinner. And that's from Zero Hedge. After being roundly criticized by liberals and conservatives alike late last week over his attendance at a birthday party for a key advisor lobbyist held at the famed French Laundry. Because this is after he said, no, you can't do it, and then he goes. No parties, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, except for me. This is how this stuff works. And pointing out this stuff is awesome. Let's see. Let me read this. Keep going on. That's right out to Tonopah. I don't know where we're going to go when we come back. We'll wind up being out, go out the bobs out in Tonopah eventually. I just need to get in the valley and kind of decide where family is and what we're doing and what we're working on and different things. I want to get up to Heber. Bob and I got to go down to the Green Dream project down in Cochise County and put up some domes. We got. And I tell you, we got vehicles back there. Donna has her Enclave, nice Buick SUV thing that's used for real estate and so on. It's at my daughter's, so she's got a car. I've got the Jeep. And then, of course, the bus. So if we're going to different places, it's got the studio and I just take the bus. That's what it's for. And it's not a bad ride. You're not, parallel parking on the street, but, it's good to just take. I don't know. We ain't got out of here yet. They kept us an extra couple of days just for socializing and bonding and going and doing and, crafts. Donna and the girls, they just really got in. They went and spent $400-something at the dollar store. I mean, that kind of crap, you know. So they got all kinds of crafts and Christmas Eve of something, and which is a lot of what happens over the holiday season. And Donna, I give her, you know, from Halloween, you know, through New Year's. That's like we don't go or do any. That's kind of been the deal. Well, so she's doing holiday stuff, and we got to get back to Arizona as soon as we can. And she wants to make the little things that she's done before that are kind of cool and give them to people up here and friends and stuff. So I'm like, all right, fine. But that means that instead of this leisurely 300-400 miles a day of stopping and smelling the roses, I got to do this, you know, one 18-hour drive day or something to get, oh. So I ain't guaranteeing nothing and get back when I get back. Cause, but it's going to need to be, God, hopefully by, I don't know, pretty quick. I mean, what else am I going to do? Be cold? Got to get, oh, let's go to the sun, man. I want to get me some sun. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And then, you know, and we're not doing a show Friday, but tomorrow's going to be a really big show. And maybe we'll know more about this election. I don't think so. It's going to be a while. I think it's going to be in December before they have different levels of other stuff and they're accumulating all this evidence. And I don't know what, how deep a hole the media is going to dig for themselves, and they go, oh, Trump's just being crazy. Well, I'm like, if you're president and you're not going after this stuff, then what the hell good are you? We don't think elections is a national security thing, you know? Because we got so many stories. I ain't even read all this stuff. Lockdown's immoral, illegal, and ineffective. You know, watch live Zuckerberg and Dorsey go back to the Capitol Hill for a post-election rematch. And, you know, ouch, quit it. And then just, it's like I'm sitting here listening to people lie all the time. Will Biden listen to the science? You know, it's all about the science until it's not. You know, as Ron Paul, you know, slapping them around a little bit on that. You know, we got some new inventions and stuff. Maybe we'll talk about that.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest Liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, just communicating with Bob. You know, yep, we're going to go back, spend time with the family, do this, that, and depends on, we always have his place that we can, you know, park the bus, but I need it. You know, so we might have some place in the valley for a few days. We're going to be there a while, and we're going to be doing some traveling. I want to use the, but man, it's Arizona. I've always wanted to do this. Arizona kicks ass, man. This bus kicks ass. It'll go just about anywhere. I mean, I had a little bit of four-wheeling, but I went to Adams, which is four-wheeling. But the, yeah, I'm not committing to anything yet because I need to know, but there's stuff we need to do. I mean, there's some work need to be done, and this time of year, it's in the 70s, even up to 80, you know, and it's just, oh, thank goodness. This is a beautiful time of year. It's really only super, oh, my God, hot. It starts getting radioactive and, you know, the sun starts making things. You got to wear gloves. Here you got to wear gloves because it's cold. There you got to wear gloves so you can touch it. It would be like into April, starts getting to May, and then it's like, the sun anvil stops pounding on your forehead, you know, sometime in September, but it could be kind of hot, you know, until Halloween. So it's usually November to April is about the best time, and it's just, you know, you have some awesome days, you have some cold stuff too, but oh damn it, I had to put a jacket on, you know, or we didn't get to eat Christmas dinner outside this year. So usually everything's outside, you know, during the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas is, we're eating out on the patio outside unless it's really windy, cold or raining or something, you know, and that's not that often. You know, Arizona doesn't have rain days. You know, there's always a, what's your rain date? You know, you have something outside, we have a rain date. You know, you have a second one, like, rain date, what the hell's that? You know, the only time you really got to worry about it is in like August. August, early September is kind of the monsoon time. You get some storms, but other than that, you just don't schedule outdoor things then, and you're good. So I'm really looking forward to getting back. I'm starting to get kind of ants in my pants, you know. But you know the news. Yeah, Dominion confirms Clinton Foundation donation. Pelosi staffer link. Dominion Voting Systems has refuted claims about being biased towards Democrats. But They all own it. Towards Democrat officials during the November 3rd election, including the allegations about a raid on a server in Germany, as well as ties to Dianne Feinstein. Seriously, this is all going to come out sooner or later. And what kind of activities, things that we're doing? What's our response? Well, James Corbett had Howard Lichtman on. And Howard, we know, is Etienne de la Bataille, Understanding Our Slavery. He did that book and so on. When he came out, I'm Howard today. Today, I'm Howard. Howard Lichtman joins us today to introduce ThickRedLine.org, an effort to restore respect for law enforcement by abolishing victimless crime. So the Thick Red Line, instead of the Thin Blue Line, it's like the Thick Red Line. This is the line. We got a line. We ain't crossing this line. Are you a law enforcement guy? Last night we were at a restaurant and we were yakking with the owners and so on. And they had, one woman came in to eat. Another couple came in as we were leaving. A lone guy came in. One woman for carry out, she was the only one wearing a mask. And one guy came in with a mask and he just took it off. Nobody else was, whatever. And a tall, slender guy, he kind of injected into the conversation, got part of it, and he was a Border Patrol guy. And we were talking to him and was asked, about his opinion on different things. And he goes, there's none of us that would go door to door to enforce any of this stuff. Our crew is not, but I'm going, you're border enforcement. What the heck are you going to be doing anyway? But we'll be forcing ourselves into your freaking RV though. So I didn't ask them that. So they were like, they're not digging it. They're not support. But what happens when it's their job? Or you don't have a job if? We'll see. It's not default supported by as many people as, they're trying to make it out to seem. Sooner or later, it's just going to be, I think we'll decline. And then what? I don't know. We're going to press that. We're going to see. I'm going to do it in Arizona because I know Arizona. And I know, the mood in different counties. I know a lot of the people. They know me. So it's, I think I feel a lot safer, or get a lot more. It doesn't mean I'm going to get any less arrested. But, at least I won't as disappeared. if you're not willing to risk arrest, you might as well not be an activist. But I'm not begging for it. But I want to definitely get them to say it, make them say it. And when we go up to the cafe in Heber up there, I just got a note from a couple of guys, Brian, Mike, hey guys, are listening. And Mike has a cabin up by there in Heber. And they're going up this weekend. They're going to stop by June's Cafe and say hey to Tracy for us. And we heard you on the radio. Yeah, that'd be cool. Thanks, guys. Because bring it up. Bring up the bus. Let's do it. We'll do it in the parking lot. We'll have a really big shindig. They got a nice big parking. It's really nice place. It looks like a cabin. Just kind of a cabin up in the cabin area of the cabin pine forest of the skiing winter. Up by Sholo, Arizona, on the rim in the White Mountains, of a cabin. And it's got a big parking lot. And it's just an independent, bite me. They're not in any, municipal jurisdiction of anything. It's just county and state want to explain it to them. So we'll go up there and we'll, put on the show. We'll have everybody get breakfast and we'll do the show live. We'll do it inside or outside on the bus. We'll do something. And have a bunch of signs and we'll go blanket it a couple days before and we'll just be real buttheads about it. And then, it's just to show support for the community. Here's a leader of the community. That's how I'm going to phrase it. I'm going to make a big deal out of it. It starts with somebody doesn't go to the back of the bus. I'm good. Our friends, here they're offering to help this family up here. They're a Greek family, open a restaurant. They're just doing everything they can to push them out of business. Well, push back. We'll help. A big party, maybe a lawyer here, there, a little something, something. You got to support these people. How much are you supporting? Are you going to Eaton? You going there? You're looking for small businesses to patronize just because, to keep them in business, to show support, to show support, to other people, that people that are standing up are getting support. That's what they know. What they want you to see, they want you to see somebody stood up and they got shot. They got arrested. They got fined. They got their license taken away. And they threatened draconian freaking, they're going to take your bit. And that's what they were telling them. $10,000 for each infraction, and they can take your business license. That's what they're threatening them with. Starting today. Today. And how many todays and tomorrows are you going to put up with this? And what do we have from the Trump administration? You know, his Atlas guy, his health guy, he goes, the only way this stops is you guys not complying. That's how it stops. You just say no. You want it to stop? That's how it stops. It's always been that way. All right. For the first time, Wall Street admits that civil unrest could crash markets. Duh. Dalio admits, I might be missing something as Bitcoin surges above 18,000. What's it at now? 17-something? 17.8. So it was like $18,000. And it's just been steadily eking up. Bitcoin Cash has stayed down, you know, 230, 250, around in there, which is cool. I get to buy more. Because Bitcoin, my thing is when it's in demand and you need it. All right, now's the time I want to sell, or you can't. It clogs up. You know, you don't get, until they make it to where it's a currency, I don't care. Store of value, my butt. I don't give a crap. Because that is just, you know, because it's such a small market cap. It's billions of dollars, hundreds of billions. That's a drop in the bucket. Those don't care. They can manipulate it, you know, any which way they want. I go, manipulate it all the hell as long as I can use it. You know, it has a low transaction fee, and I can, you know, transfer and go from this country to that, and I don't have to haul around a bunch of precious metals. I mean, when you do that, and I get access to it when I want, and it's private and got some security, then I'm all over it. You don't do that, then what the hell good are you? You know? And they're not seeing that. Well, it's a store of value. It just sits there. It doesn't have value if I can't get it. Yeah, it's just a coup, just saying. Yeah, we'll see. And then Elon questions the cult. You know, Elon Musk, he takes a test. He gets two positives and two negatives. Same test kit, same nurse, same hospital, same time, same two and two. He goes, yeah, you know, I'm calling BS on this. Oh, how irresponsible of you to call BS on the BS. You shouldn't be able to do that. Uh-huh. Well, now we got, you know, the Boeing 737 MAX is coming back. I guess they, you know, put Band-Aid, baling wire, chewing gum, scotch tape on whatever it was, and that's good. Let's see. Rand Paul is already pissing off Joe Biden, resisting lockdown measures.